Hello, friends. I'm your host, Christina, and you're listening to Radical Stepmoms, a podcast about the good, bad, and really ugly moments about raising a child that you didn't create. Here, I'll discuss the realities of co-parenting, the way stepmotherhood affects a marriage, the relationship with our stepkids, and most of all, navigating the relationship with ourselves. I want each episode to leave you feeling validated, empowered, and oh so radical. So pour yourself a LaCroix, a glass of red, or whatever, and listen in on Radical Stepmoms. Hello, welcome to Radical Stepmoms. I am chatting with Naja Hall. Hi, Naja.
Hey, Christina. Hey, girl. Hey.
Hey. Thank you so much for chatting with me today. For those that don't know you, Naja has several platforms in the stepmom community, and I think you're busy. A lot of them really speak to, I think we share a lot of the same like issues with high conflict and all that stuff. So wanted to chat with another like-minded stepmom. Can you give a little background on your blended family dynamic? How long you've been a stepmom? How many kids you got? All that stuff.
Hey guys, I'm Naja Hall, founder of VIPstepmom.com and blendedinblack.com. So I'm a stepmom of three. I have been in the game, in the trenches, as we say, for 8 years now. Oh my. And I probably will say out of these 8 years, 8 years of it has been high conflict. So I decided a very long time ago to build something for girls like me that needed to find a way to still thrive, not just survive your marriage, your relationship, your stepmotherhood situation, but you can still thrive. Like, I'm a firm believer that you can still have a very good damn life and relationship and situation while you are dealing with that high conflict thing in your life. Mm-hmm. That question, Christina, I don't know. I don't think I did.
You did. Yeah. So what's your like custody schedule?
Oh, so we're long distance, actually. We reside in New York City and the kids live in Texas. And so amidst paying extremely high child support, finishing up with school tuition fees, doctors, yada, 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 my husband still has to travel to Texas so that he can have a physical as well as financial relationship with his children. The custody schedule, when he made the agreement, I don't know if the lawyer, listen, no shade, I'm not going to say the lawyer's name, but I don't think this person was a family law attorney. I think they were like maybe criminal law, or they were super tired, because per the arrangements, we have a schedule as if we lived in the same city. It's a typical every other weekend. You get them in the summers, you alternate holidays. Knowing, like, obviously this was back in 2013, 2014, knowing now what, you know, we wish we'd have would have known then, we would have done it completely different.
Yeah.
So we have, what my husband has to do is travel very frequently to Texas. Sometimes I go, sometimes I don't.
Damn. So were you living in separate states when that was written?
Yes, we were.
That makes no sense. And why did they agree on that?
You know, I guess the question is, look at the person that's responsible, would be my husband. You know, the question I've asked him, I said, well, why did you agree to that? And he was like, listen, so the first attorney, so basically the situation was, you know how it is with a high conflict person. They're the ones that end up filing, but it's after years of abuse, after emasculation, like it's all of these things that happen. Mm-hmm. And the one that filed first. And with that, he began getting things. And by the way, my husband was deployed. So I don't know about you girls that understand what deployments mean. That means your partner's not residing in the same city with you all the time, and they're all over the place. So number one, he didn't have a chance to secure a good legal team. Things kind of hit him out the bat. So the divorce was filed, okay, boom. He wanted to sit down and say, this is what I'm going to give you for the kids, because I understand you don't have any skills to find a job yet, but you are able-bodied. I'm going to give you some time to get on your feet. Well, in our particular situation, with a lot of women, I think, especially people that feel like they're scorned and people that are angry, they're mad because this person was abusive and still is very much abusive. Very upset that their victim, that the abusee was willing to just go that easily. So the first time he told me, he was like, you know, I heard from one of her attorneys, they were telling me that they wanted $12,000 a month. And I was like, okay, you're crazy as hell. That's a lot of money. And he was like, I was just like, how? He was like, because our expenses nor the kids' expenses were $12,000. She also included that she wanted a mommy makeover. It was like all this crazy stuff, right? What? I know. You know, amidst like physically beating up his car, harassing his family, I came into the picture harassing me. Like, it was a lot. And so by the time the divorce was final, he found an attorney. Again, he was deployed. So he wasn't interviewing people. He literally, I think his daddy recommended an attorney from church to go out with this lady. And you all, we kind of know how that goes. And the person was like, listen, just settle for this. You don't have to pay the $12,000. You can pay the $7,000. And in the decree, like I've looked over it and almost cringed. The initial decree said things like, in order to take the children 50 miles away from their current home, they had to get written permission. Now, what high conflict person do you know is going to give their children's father written permission?
Permission.
One. So, you know, my question, you know, and I tell this to a lot of stepmoms, it's like, we can be mad at bio mom, you can be mad at attorneys or whatever, but you got to look at your partner's responsibility. Mm-hmm. The reason that it was signed ultimately is because from the horse's mouth, my husband said, she was like, listen, I was exhausted. He was like, I was so exhausted. He was like, my money, he was like, she never had a job. He was like, but my money, my life, everything began being scrutinized by all these strangers telling me when I could see my kids. You know, typical things that happen when a man is beat down by the system.
Right.
Exhausted. And he was like, just tell me where to sign. And that took a very long time. And it was very expensive to undo. And it's still not to a place that's fair. But it is what it is at this point. We've learned to live with it. We've learned to thrive. In order to make up for some of the money that leaves our household, I've been able to, and God really works in mysterious ways, because I've been able to build a very profitable business off the very thing that family apart. So, you know, it ain't all bad, I guess, Christina.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can you speak to a little bit more? I mean, I know I get lots of, so we don't have to pay child support. We a 50-50 custody schedule. And I know how lucky I am in that, because I know that even like 50-50 is, you know, some people still pay.
Oh, yeah.
But bio mom didn't show up to the court hearing, and it was like the third time, and the judge was like, obviously she doesn't care. So she never submitted financial paperwork. Like, she never.
Where was she? Like, why would you not show up to get?
I don't know. She's very floopy. Like, she forgets things a lot. So I think really it was just off her radar, but it worked out in our benefit. So, you know, I talk to a lot of women who hold on to a lot of resentment and frustration because they can't do things in their life, or they're always, you know, having to budget because of, you know, that child support piece. How have you managed any of those emotions as far as feeling a little bitter that money is going over there?
In the beginning, bitterness is a good word. And I know a lot of stepmoms don't like to hear that word directed at them, because we are so fast to call bitter baby mama, bitter baby mom. Like, we're so quick to point the finger, but bitter is an understatement. When you see what happens in a court system to a man that you love, you feel completely helpless. You have literally no stake in what's happening. You didn't cause this mess, but now you're reaping the consequences of maybe some bad decisions and some missteps and maybe somebody picking the wrong type of person to have kids with. One thing that I did was I became hyper-focused. I'm a hyper-focused type of person. Mm-hmm. Because for a very long time, it made me resent him. You know, him like, dude, we got to pay all this effing money for this. But my husband always, always made sure that his financial obligations never affected how we lived or affected me. And in the beginning, I will say that he kind of went overboard with proving to me that he could not only be a provider for our household and the things that we wanted to build, but he could still also take care of his other responsibilities. So my situation was kind of different, because we weren't really sacrificing per se, But it still makes you angry when a person, you know, when you see your man paying all this money and, you know, God knows what is happening in the other situation, but you know it's not all on the up and up. Mm-hmm. I focused on us and me. I focused on finding the best accountant. I focused on finding the best tax person. I found the family law attorney that represents us now, and this person does not play games at all. As a matter of fact, it's a father's rights attorney over in Texas, and we all know how difficult that is. Mm-hmm. You know, I started to do what I always do. I was a blogger before. I had a long career in radio. And the first thing I did when all this BS started happening was, I was like, let me just go to the internet. Let me start voicing this on the internet. Mm-hmm. And I knew it, Christina, all these people. Like, I had a Facebook group. There's like 9,000-10,000 people in that group now. We don't really let anybody in anymore. In the blended family one, rather. The stepmom is open. But all these people started coming in and talking about their problems. And so I was like, I'm going to talk about this too. I do a podcast. I do YouTube videos. Any magazine that you've heard of at this point, you put it out there to the point to where I'm available. I'm happy to talk about it. Mm-hmm. And what I realized is, I don't know how spiritual or religious people are, so I don't want to go too deep into that. But I really, really realized that I am sustained from a source that is so much bigger than me. And everything that I felt like was being taken away unfairly from us, I've seen why it's so much better to be the person that can afford to give it than the person that's willing to go to court to lie to receive it. Because look, our lives have elevated to, and look where that person's life is still teetering at the bottom.
Right. Yeah.
I kind of look at it like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We have to kind of, I mean, I, when you're in a specific state of mind and stuff, hearing like rise above it is, it can be like, fuck off. But at the same time, no, you choose your path, and you know, I'm always going to be happy not being that type of person.
Man, yes.
No matter how much time has gone by, you know, she's still where she's at. She's still remaining in this place of being angry and confrontational and just seeking out all of this drama. And you know, I can go to bed at night knowing, yeah, no, I don't do that. And I'm happy.
Don't do that. I have an example in my own life, and I'm sure a lot of people listening to this too. I literally have an example of the type of wife and the type of mother that I never want to be. I have a living, breathing, walking example of that. And like you said, if you all think, yeah, she might be getting a little bit of his check, you might not be able to go on that vacation, or you might have to save a little bit longer for those breast implants. That's the message that she sent you. Look at the last email. The girl can't even look you in your damn eye. If Naja was getting $12,000 a month or $7,000 a month, do you know how happy Miss Naja would be? Snatched, hair always done, nails always done, unbothered, taking the check, my kids and me living a good life, and you still gonna take them in the summer. But you can tell a person that is so wrapped up in hatred that money, something as simple as money, doesn't even begin to solve their problems.
Right. Yeah. Shit. Okay. Yeah.
So, I like how you said that.
one of the bigger questions that I get, that I would imagine you get also, does BioMom know about your social media presence, and what do you do about that?
The question is, what is she gonna do about it? What you gonna do, baby? Who's gonna check me? Honestly, she's left comments before. She went on a campaign, like replying to everybody once upon a time, she and her friends. And I just block. You all know my favorite B word. Well, my second favorite B word is block. That ass got blocked. You know, I still get silly messages. Maybe it's not as often as usual, but we just saw Jenna from Stepmom Help like get trashed on her page from, and we all knew it came from BioMom. So at this point, if it ever happened, I would probably just leave it up for fodder, because you guys know, I practice what I preach. I'm not only the president, I'm a client as well. Mm-hmm. And so I've never been contacted by any legal team. I myself work for a legal and crisis management firm. I am their coach. And so we already have paperwork ready should I receive anything, any sort of cease and desist, because how can you tell somebody to shut up and sit down from talking about something when you have victimized them, when you've done something to them? They're simply telling your story. Mm-hmm. I've never lied. I've never cheated. I've never stolen. Everything that I've talked about has been the truth. And so I stand by that.
Mm-hmm.
The most that I mean, I think not too long ago, I got a text. You know what? I pulled it up just for you, Christina. I pulled it up just for you. Hold on. Okay. It says, "You don't have permission to post photos of my children on social media. Wait until you have your own fucking zoo animals and post them."
What?
And the old Naja, the 2013 Naja, would have sent her pictures of her children and said, "? You calling my kids zoo animals?" However, the reformed Naja that's a coach did not respond.
Mm-hmm.
One, there's nothing in any sort of legally binding document that we can't post them. And to be quite frank, I was posting my husband's kids, not hers.
Our kids, yeah.
And third, she and her friends and whatever person that she's with in this moment post pictures of those children. So it's not a matter of, like, it would be different if these were parents that did not post their children on social media, because I have a lot of friends like that. I don't post their kids. This is completely different. So this was just another example of someone who is unable to accept the fact that there's a person that really loves your ex-husband and really likes your kids in the picture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that was like one of the nice text messages. And I was just coming out of surgery and it popped up on my phone. And at this point, I'm just like, oh, girl, bye. Get out of here.
Yeah, unbothered. I think it's because, you know, my bio mom situation, she doesn't know. She's not on social media at all. She thinks...
Crazy, Christina. Like, I remember when I interviewed you and I asked you, and I'm like, how? Your platform is so...
I'm like, well, it's to my benefit. I mean, in so many ways that she's one of the people that thinks social media is like ruining the world and, you know, it's going to corrupt your brain and like all this stuff because, I mean, it's like one of those...
And things- she misses court to get money. Wow. She must like live in the woods or something.
Right. So I like have... like dodged a lot of bullets in that regard. But I'll have to say that I still have this kind of fear that at some point she will find out, whether it's like a mutual friend or, you know, she's not browsing for any stepmom podcasts, but you know, it's just, I'm like, you know, it's bound to happen. And my husband's always like, okay. And then we'll deal with it. Like, it's not that big of a deal.
You know, what's going to happen when she finds out? I remember, my husband got a text message and it was a screenshot of me when I was like 15 pounds lighter, looking cute, talking to the Today Show. I was on Today Parents talking about stepmom issues. And my husband got a screenshot and it said, "This fake ass bitch." So what I know about it is, you know, and my response was like, "Well, does she want an autograph?" Like, you know, it's fine. Like, girl, you know me. There's nothing that they can do.
Mm-hmm.
One, Christina, you're always honest. You do your work with integrity. You have an amazing sense of humor and you found a tribe and you're helping them. And one thing that a high conflict mom would do is say, "Oh my God, you're fake. Oh my God, you're obsessed with me. Oh my God, why are you always talking about me?" And it's like, well, I'm not talking about you. It's your actions. And it's how I'm learning to cope with your actions, how I'm learning to cope with the traumas that you never have done. You haven't done the work to resolve. About me and how I'm still building a great life while having to coexist with someone like you that's in my peripheral.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And also go to hell.
Side note.
Just basically at the end of the day, you can just go straight there.
Yeah. So I'm going to kind of rapid fire questions now, man. When you've been managing the high conflict ex, what are the biggest lessons you've learned?
Don't respond. The reason that she's a high conflict ex is because she has like a lack of impulse control. You know, we high conflict people, if you step on their shoe, they're going to punch you in the face. High conflict ex, she sees you loving on her kids. She's going to send a nasty message and upset everybody, especially those children. And so the thing that's going to set you apart from her is taking a beat, take a breath, take about 30 seconds, walk away, walk around, go do some sit-ups, go do something and sit back and collect yourself so that you're not like her. Also, understand that just because somebody, like, you feel offended, the person may not intentionally, they're not intending to offend you. I don't think our situation, I don't think my stepkid's mom thinks about me, how can she can ruin my day on a daily basis. Some of her actions have caused my days to be a little bit more difficult, but I know that she does not wake up like that. I know that she herself is probably, and let me not say this particular person, because I don't know what side of the tunnel they wake up on, the trough they wake up on every day. I'm just going to say, I think their own lives are so chaotic that they wake up and live and exist in a state of chaos. Mm-hmm. Peaceful, then they start to get scared. But understand that it's not all about you. Those are my two biggest things that I would just say, just please keep that in mind.
Yeah, the understanding that it's not about you thing, it has become a large mantra for me of being
like, it ain't about you, girl. That person woke up in trauma. They are thinking about the hug that they didn't get when they were 8 years old. They're thinking about that incest. They're thinking about the father that wasn't there. They're thinking about they didn't have enough food growing up. They are not thinking about you. It just so happened that every single one of their actions is so opposite of yours, and it does affect you in a certain way. They mm-hmm. are thinking about you. They're living in their own chaos.
Mm-hmm. And we aren't the only target in their lives that they've been doing for a long time.
I don't know if it's any solace, but we are not alone. They typically do have a history, like a pattern of broken relationships with a whole bunch of people. So it ain't just us. You ain't special. Stepmoms, we ain't special. I know we want to think we are, but I promise you, we're not.
Yeah, yes. We're not special in the way that benefits us.
Exactly. Not in this respect.
Yeah. So in work that you do with other women and stuff, what would you say is the biggest mistake that stepmoms make?
The biggest mistake you think you can make is calling me, somebody like me or Christina, so that we can teach you how to deal with your partner that cannot set boundaries. Mm-hmm. He's the one that needs to be calling us, or they are the ones that need to be calling us. Because mm-hmm. I'll get phone calls. Oh my God, Naja, my partner still gives extra money to buy a mom, or they're still talking funny business, or he goes over on Christmas morning and I can't go. Baby, that's not a you issue.
Yeah, that's him.
Partner, that is your man. That is your woman. That's your partner. That's whoever you are with. So mm-hmm. the biggest mistake you make is thinking I'm going to sit here and teach you how to deal with bullshit. I don't know how to do that. I mm-hmm. don't know how to teach people how to shovel shit. I just, I can't do it. And you're wasting your time and money. I think you should have your partner to seek some help. And mm-hmm. you should also be very honest with yourself, because a lot of us have partners that don't even want to rock the boat, and they're not ever going to set boundaries. They know you're going to sit and deal with it for the long haul. You'll whine and cry, but you'll get over it and you're going to be with them. They don't mm-hmm. want to piss the baby mama off though, because that's a whole world of problems. Mm-hmm. Just recognize if you have a partner like that, get yourself in some help to try to cut that relationship off, or get them some help if you see they're willing to set some boundaries.
Yeah. A lot of those kinds of calls that I have when, you know, they think that they have their situation, like they think that they understand the problem. And then after talking with them, I'm like, actually, all right. So that's not you don't have control over that. And so then it turns into me coaching the stepmom on how to have this conversation with their partner of, okay, you know, how do you open up this kind of conversation? How do you make it productive? How do you not have it result in an argument and stuff? And it's like, you know, going back to that, we can't control the things that we can't control. And if that is the biggest issue, like you got to work on yourself as the stepmom and what you can and can't, you know, put up with, and then put up your own boundaries with your partner of if they're going to continue to do this, what are you going to do about it?
Are you going to, as we say in the country, are you going to barbecue or are you going to mildew? Some of y'all out there mildewing.
What advice do you, let me read my question. What advice do you have for stepmoms who have a bio mom who doesn't even acknowledge them, ignores them, doesn't even want to meet them? How do you feel about those types of situations?
Again, I think you first need to focus on the fact that it's not about you. She does not want to meet you because you smell bad, or because you're ugly, or because you're fat, or because you're stupid. She does not want to meet you because there is inherently something going on with her. She's distracted. Maybe she's still hurting. Maybe she still wants her family. Maybe she's reeling from, she's still grieving from the fact that what she thought was going to be is never going to be, and you are a stark reminder of that.
Mm-hmm.
That's the case, then set her over to the side, put her on ice, and focus on what's right in front of you, which is your partner and their children. And I promise you, even if you've never laid eyes on bio mom, you've never heard her voice, you guys have never exchanged a text message, her children are part of her. So by proxy, you are interacting with this woman because they're going home, just like they're telling you little things about mom, they're going home and talking about you as well. So she's well aware of who you are. Don't be so intent on having your egos stroked that mm-hmm. you feel like this woman has to meet you, because sometimes she just can't handle it. And she mm-hmm. might cover that in a cloak of anger and nasty words, or she might could just act like you don't exist. But she's doing that for her.
Mm-hmm.
I don't agree with sending my children over to a woman's house who's stranger danger to me. If I can't look you in the eye and shake your hand and be like, hey, here's my phone number, call me if you need me, but don't call me really. I'm here. Like, that would be ideal. But so I can't really identify with a woman that would just do that. But mm-hmm. it's not about you. Once again, it's not about you, stepmom. Right. It's a girl and her own thing.
Yeah. And I think you made a good point there in that, you know, so often we, you know, judge her actions and behavior based on what we would do if we were in that situation. And that's not the case. Like, we can't do that because obviously we are not the same type of people, or she would be still with your partner. Like, there's
if you were that much alike, honey, why is he with that? Why are they with you?
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly.
So I got a lot more questions for you. Where I'm going to take a break right now, and then we'll come back. And I want to ask you how to navigate a relationship with the stepkids when you don't really like them.
Damn, Christina.
All right, Radical Mamas, I want to talk about the first resource I found as a stepmom. Stepmom Magazine was a game changer for how I navigate this role. It's an online magazine with articles from all the top step parenting experts on all things stepmom. Each issue is packed with insights, tips, and validation from licensed therapists, published authors, and stepfamily professionals who know and live the stepmom life. Stepmom Magazine also has ebooks specific to special topics like disengaging, being a full-time stepmom, parental alienation, and so much more. They are all available to download right now. I subscribed years ago and is exactly what I needed to feel less alone and more supported. Getting that monthly email telling me the new issue is out is like getting a warm hug from another stepmom. To subscribe, head to stepmommagazine.com and use the code RADICAL20 to save 20%. If you find something that makes you say, yes, hell yes, me too, send me a DM on Instagram and let me know. I love hearing from you. Again, that's stepmommagazine.com and use the code RADICAL20 to save you 20%.
All right, so we're back. I think one of the things that one of my pet peeves in the pressures that stepmoms feel is needing to love your stepkids and needing to have this, like, I am a motherly figure and I have all this love and affection and all these things. And right. And I struggle with that, any type of pressure being placed on someone to have feelings for another person. But what I run into, you know, a lot of stepmoms who are feeling like, okay, love isn't even, I barely even like my stepkids. How do I still have a relation?
Barely even like my own damn kids.
So, like, how do you respond to one, that pressure, and then two, what do you do when you don't even really like your stepkids, but you're still, you chose this path, quotes, air quotes here, what do you do?
Yikes on bikes. Okay, so when you don't like your stepkids, first and foremost, like, why don't you like them? Are they tattletales? Do they remind you a lot of their mother, that high conflict mother?
Mm-hmm.
Caught in a loyalty bind. Are they extremely disrespectful and they curse you out? Like, there's a lot of reasons why we wouldn't like other human beings. Children are given a pass because their brains are still developing. They are not capable. We don't really hold them responsible of the things that they say, some of their actions. And so if you are a grown-up, and most people aren't psychotherapists, and you're not going to know how to psychoanalyze your stepkids to be like, oh my God, I understand this action. I know why they hit me with a paper plate. Listen, you're not going to focus on that stuff. I'll say this, your relationship, and y'all might get mad at me for saying this, but whatevs. Your relationship with your stepchildren, it differs from the relationship with their biological children, because that's a conditional relationship. I love you, I like you based on these particular conditions.
Mm-hmm.
Like you have unconditional love for mommy and daddy, your desire to be around me is based on certain conditions. And mm-hmm. so I hope that eliminates any sort of guilt that any stepmom has with not necessarily liking the stepkids. And love, I don't think you fell in love with their father overnight.
Right.
So yep. you're definitely not going to fall in love with these kids instantly, and vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
Beginning of a step parent, stepchild relationship, I would say if you have like a respectful tolerance that builds over time, then mm-hmm. you have to teeter into something that looks like love. But still, that's based on conditions. Very few of us make it to the point to where we can say, oh my God, I don't have 4 kids. I have 6 kids because I don't call my stepkids step. Okay, girl. Well, I ain't talking to you,
yeah.
kids. You know, mm-hmm. it's totally okay to see that there's a difference, because these young people, they don't love you like they do their own mother.
Mm-hmm.
Even right. those, even stepkids that have very gracious mothers that are welcoming you and saying, listen, I'm going to share my baby with you. I appreciate you. I applaud you. Thank you so much for being here. Even those children still might feel a sense of torn loyalty, because mm-hmm. it's a totally normal thing. Mm-hmm. So it's conditions. It's based on conditions. I tell my stepkids that all the time, honey, and don't let those terms and conditions expire.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think one of the things that I keep in mind too, in addition to like, you know, affection and feelings of love and stuff take time, is that this, again, with this pressure that we feel, I think, you know, kind of assessing what you want your role to be, and like, you're not going to get anywhere. Here's my point. You're not going to get anywhere if you are focusing on, I should be feeling a certain way. I should be doing this, or I must be doing it wrong, or something's wrong with me. You're not going to get anywhere in doing that. If you focus on the kid and, you know, of, okay, well, I don't necessarily want to, like, I don't feel comfortable or whatever that is, but you just look at them like, okay, I'm just find the qualities that you do like and focus on that. Like in the beginning with my stepson, it was like, you know, you're 3, you're super cute and I can kick it with you and you're, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Like 6 years old, I'm like, oh my God, you're a terror. And I had to find other ways to connect with him, so I didn't end up hating him because he was being a rude little icky boy. And yeah. and I'm still doing that where it's like, I have to.
That tolerance, right? You get to that place of respectful tolerance.
Yeah. And it's easier for me to do that if I don't judge what I'm feeling in the moment. If I'm just like, yeah, I'm feeling this way, you know, how can I, you know, tolerate it, make it better? You know, not focus on being the best stepmom in the world, but being the cool aunt for a little bit until, you know, dust settles and I feel whatever. So
yeah. And I guess ultimately if you find that there's just nothing likable about this particular child, because I think only in my entire life I've only met one kid who I was like, oh my God, how could I not like such, like, you're like a demon. Like, oh my God. And it's not my stepkids, by the way. They are simply amazing. But if you do find yourself and you have a stepkid that way, just do your best to keep them alive and bide your time while they're in your house, so they can go back wherever it is they came from. And if you're a custodial stepmom, God bless your soul.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. Because there's a lot of women that are also in those situations where it's intolerable and they have to live there. And so bless them.
Yeah. Let's talk about insecurities being the second wife. Or third wife, wherever you're at in the
baby. Let me tell y'all something. I don't say second wife, third, fourth, fifth, sixth. I say last. Yay. I am his last wife. If you look at if you look at yourself that way and say, okay, the other ones were practice. Now, if your man has been married 4, 5, 6 times, I'm not necessarily judging you. However, I am suggesting that you maybe do the work to understand how you got here and. Mm-hmm. You could very well be his last wife too. Just make sure you get a big old insurance policy on him. But I look at myself as being the last wife. Mm-hmm. You know, the first one was a stepping stone. Mm-hmm. Was the practice run. Mm-hmm. Was full of lessons that he certainly can appreciate now. And I do see, I literally see and feel how I reap the benefits mm-hmm. of another woman's pain, another woman's time. And so I am very compassionate for that reason, but I see myself as the last wife. And you know, first, second, third over here, baby, we're going to ride this thing on out until the wheels fall off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Again, it goes back to that mindset of, you know, don't go down that negative road, like reframe it. So it's, you know,
because if you call yourself the second, I feel like that leaves room for third, fourth, fifth, sixth. Yeah. So cut it off now. Let's just call ourselves the last.
Yeah. Okay. So we talked about the child support thing. You said that you sometimes go to Texas to visit them. Do you ever feel like pressure to show up? Do you feel like, what's that like? Because you guys like stay in a hotel and you don't have to interact with BioMom. Like, what does that look like?
My husband, I've never actually met BioMom in all these years, never met this person. I've gotten tons of phone calls, tons of text messages, death threats. This person is called my family. They've tried to find my job. They've called my colleagues. So, you know, if a person makes death threats against me, I take that kind of stuff very seriously. And I have tried to get help from the state of Texas. Like, hey, one of your citizens is saying they're going to kill me. So can we put some paperwork in place in case something happens? And I found that I wasn't being protected by the state. And so I choose not to even go around. So I've never actually met this person.
Wow. Face-to-face.
But I do think as much as they call, and you know, it doesn't happen as much now, but I don't know, I feel like there must be a poster board of Ms. Naja up somewhere and must be a screensaver or something. But I don't go to the pickup and drop offs. My husband's parents also live in Texas. So sometimes we'll stay with them, and I absolutely love, love, love my in-laws. What God doesn't give you in one area, he definitely creates for you. So I have an overabundance of love from every one of my sister-in-laws, my brother-in-law, and my both of his parents. So sometimes we'll stay with them. Most of the time we'll do an Airbnb. And in those extended summers where we're still paying child support and for an Airbnb for the 40 days, it'll just be us. There's not any cross interaction. One time, that very first summer that she, air quote, permitted us to get them, come to find out it was because she had started dating a new guy. And started dating a new guy. And the kids came and my husband was like, hey, you know, do you want to speak to her? And she was like, all right, fine. And so we ended up talking and she was like, I just really miss my babies. It was such a normal conversation among two women who had been fraught with conflict. And all of a sudden we're on the phone like, oh my God, I miss my babies. I was like, all right, well, I'm going to send you some pictures of them. Here you go. She sent them with no clothes, no underwear, no nothing. The only thing she did was just say, like, you can't post pictures of the kids. But that was like 2017 or something. I was like, okay, girl, it's not in a court order, but whatever makes you happy. It was some poorly written legal mumbo jumbo, maybe written by somebody that wanted to be a paralegal. Not even, you know. So that was way back then. Had this conversation. It was nice. And then I asked her, I was like, hey, so one thing I know, I do hair. I do my own hair. Sometimes I'll do friends' hair. And so the girls came with a permanent hairstyle. Like right now I'm wearing braids. And so I did these braids myself. The girls came with braids. And I was like, hey, so some of the braids are starting to unravel. You know, I was asked the oldest one. I was like, hey, come here, let me redo your braid. And she froze up. Mm. And that means, mama said, you cannot touch my hair. Mm. Those of us that are in ethnic communities, you know, our hair is it's a big thing to us. It's a huge thing. A woman doing another woman's child's hair, it's almost like an act of intimacy. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, the little girl froze up and I was like, oh, okay. And so I told my husband, I was like, hey, ask her, you know, the hair is, I was like, it's not looking good. It's not lasting. There's no reason why, if my hair looks like this, kids that are with me should not be done up. Mm-hmm. Another good conversation. And then after that conversation, she sends me a nice text and it was like, hey, despite how I feel about you, thank you so much for taking care of my kids. And my response was, listen, I've seen women start out with way more humble beginnings than me and you become friends. And I hope that's what can happen with you and I. And you and my husband have raised some amazing children. And then her response was, you fucking stupid, ugly ass bitch. Your fucking husband. That's it's shame to call him a husband. I know what it's like to have him a husband. You stupid man looking Bruce Jenner fucking bitch. You're so goddamn stupid. And that was the last time we talked.
What? How did that that switch flipped so fast?
You can diagnose her. Hey, y'all. You got the license, girl. I don't know, Christina. So needless to say, I've decided to take myself completely out of that equation. She's made it so that I am a person that's erased in their life. The oldest one has been pretty much alienated to the point to where she's fearful when I'm around. And she's 16. But she's so sweet and her heart is so soft, and it's so sad to see the one with the softest heart be manipulated like that. But I'm surprised she can, the things that she's heard, I'm surprised she can still look me in the eye and just have a normal conversation with me. So very smart, articulate young woman. For her, my hope is that later on in life, when she gains her independence, she and I can have a conversation. Mm-hmm. Because I do opt to not go on trips just so that they can be with their father.
Yeah.
Sometimes I decide, yeah, I'm going to go, and we have the time of our lives. Like, we literally do. But when they're with their mother, she's made it explicitly known that I'm not allowed to talk to them. So it's I don't exist, and they can't say my name over there. No photos, nothing with me in it. You know, if she hears them talking about me, even to this day, it elicits something. So I don't want to be around a person where the name Naja just incites violence and hatred, because there's nothing what they'll do. And I have to beat their ass up, Christina.
And you don't want to go to jail.
What do I look like? What do I look like doing that? You know, what am I going to tell my clients?
Mm-hmm.
Right. So it's just best to avoid certain situations when you know that you are the one who has the most power and the most control. Yeah. And in this particular instance, I do.
So in such a high conflict situation, I'm wondering, how has your husband supported you, and what does he think about what you guys have to do to kind of just, you know, continue thriving?
I think in the beginning, just like most men, he chose the path of least resistance, because these guys, they know who these women are. You know, they know who they laid down with. They know what they pulled out. You know, you stuck your thing in a dumpster and look what you pulled out, a whole world of trouble. And so in the beginning, I think he was kind of jaded to it. But it was new to me, because I'm not accustomed to being cursed out and name called and disrespected. But mm-hmm. I think, you know, when you've been abused, because that is abuse, Christina, like, let's just say, I think he was so accustomed with it. I've seen a lot of abusers try to convince other people that the abuse that they're taking is okay. Mm-hmm. Like, no, that's just how they are. No, honey. They're going to be locked up in a restraining order being how they are with me. And mm-hmm. when he saw me stepping up and defending myself as a person that does not have to deal with this, he started doing the restraining orders. He started putting things in place. He stopped negotiating with her. And things they improved so much. Because she realized, like, you have a very willing, loving man that's like wants to be in his kids' lives. And if you want high conflict by your mom, the first thing you're going to try to do is do it all by yourself. But that mm-hmm. got hard. She wanted to have a hot girl summer too. She saw mm-hmm. traveling every other week somewhere and living this great life. And it's like, wait a minute. So I think things have kind of balanced off in his own mind to where he understands this is who he decided to make a mother. And mm-hmm. that is his responsibility to deal with that. And so on some weekends where I don't decide to go, I'll shoot off to Cabo real quick, or I'll go get myself in the day spa, or I'll just lay and do nothing and enjoy my damn peace and quiet. Mm-hmm. So he respects the space that I hold for myself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I know, you know, my husband, kind of like how you talked about earlier, and the fact that we have created a community out of, you know, the things that we have to deal with. I would imagine that he is very proud of you and the things that you've accomplished. Has he ever been on your platforms?
Oh my God, yes. Yeah. A lot of interviews with him. And my husband's like, you know, I assume your guy might be the same way. He's not like all in the limelight type of person. He doesn't, like, he's like, you know, not the forefront, not the Instagram posting person. That's more me. But a lot of what I do is inspired by him. He is my muse. And sometimes I ask him to come on. When I do have him on, the ladies love his opinion because he's a super manly man. And you wouldn't think a guy like him has dealt with some of the things that he has, but he's on top, and he's really happy to talk about it. He's extremely proud of me. All of his friends know what I do. I've even had a couple of them as clients paying for a session, because you're not about to call and tell me what your baby mama did for 45 minutes with fitness invoice link. Yeah, he's very proud of what I do, and he will jump in from time to time. And he gives really good advice too.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, you know, I'm getting my husband more and more involved slowly. He's super shy and is just, you know, kind of an introvert that way. But yeah, we've recorded a couple times, and I just think that there's not enough resources for the men that are, or the partners that are dealing with.
Yeah. With
and, you know, my husband would never start a podcast, but, you know, I'm like, there's a need for it if you, it's open.
There's so, a huge need, because I only know my friend Tim from Blitzcredible.
Mm-hmm.
Is freaking amazing, and he speaks to the male dads and stepdads. But you know, he doesn't have to be the only one out there,
right? Yeah, yeah.
Great resource though.
Our partners to join together and create their own platforms. Yeah,
I know. It's like they really should though. I think we would have to be in the background, like, hey, ask this, say this. Right. You know what, that would actually be a good idea though, if we just like set up the camera and let them talk about men stuff, because once my man starts talking, oh, ain't no stopping, you know, he's talking. Is yours the same way?
Yeah, to get him on the right topic, because
yes
so let's tell everyone how people can find you and all that sort of thing. Go ahead.
All right, y'all. So my name is Naja Hall. If you have not heard of me, I'm so happy that you're listening to the sound of my voice. I consider it a privilege that you are allowing me in your ear and in your energy space. I hope in some way that something I've said has resonated to you and made you feel a little bit better, and let you know that life is really good. Life is so good for you. Like, it's the things that you let permeate your thoughts, like, they're, let them all be good things. So I hope that you can feel the love that I'm trying to share. So you can find me at najahall.com. If you are a stepmom, which I'm assuming you are because you're here, visit me at vipstepmom.com as well.
Yay. And you post videos. You are way better at doing that whole like YouTube-y stuff. And you do like all of that. And I love watching your videos. I love it when like my followers send me your content as if I don't look at it all the time, you know?
Girl, my followers send me your stuff. I'm like, I know, Christina, I have her phone number. God, it's my friend. It's my fucking friend, okay?
I know her, yeah. But it's like, oh, like, you, like, we're just like on the same wavelength a lot of times. And I love that.
I love it when they tag you on my page and vice versa. Yeah. You know, I firmly believe there's enough room out here for all of us.
Yeah.
You know, we're all talking about the same subject matter, and there's just truly enough out here for all of us. So I appreciate you having me here today and letting me talk to your peeps.
Yeah, I appreciate you. I hope we can do it again. I feel like, you know.
Listen, anytime. you got my number. You just text me and be like, Naja, you available? I'm like, yeah, girl.
Yes. All right. Well, everyone, I hope you enjoyed this episode. If you have any questions, you know how to find me, and now you know how to find Naja. Be well and stay radical.
All right, ladies, the episode is over, but do you want a little more? Come find me on Instagram and join the community at Radical Stepmoms Podcast, or schedule a one-on-one session and get that personalized support. Or become a Radical member and gain access to exclusive content like bonus episodes and merch. Radical Stepmoms is so much bigger than a podcast. Check out the details in the notes on this episode.